Because I found it really interesting that even like food, like pizza, it's gonna vary from different city to city. It's and there's huge rivalries about it.
Oh yeah,
like,
of course.
like Chicago claims that theirs is better, and New York says no, ours is better, and then both of them are completely different from one another. So yeah, I can understand like the culture shock.
I might be a bit biased, but the New York one is better.
I like the New York one also. The Chicago one, I was like, oh yeah, I feel like I'm having a heart attack. This is too much.
Yeah, the New Yorkers, they often say the Chicago deep dish style pizza, that's not even pizza, that's lasagna, because it's so deep. Usko pizza kehne ka, you know, it doesn't even deserve the right to be called a pizza.
I was like, a cake, man. Like, this is like a cake. Like, I was like, this is playing mind games.
First of all, we're talking to you, Bilal Hassan, right?
Yes.
I saw you on Instagram and I noticed ki aapki profile pe, you're a doctor, you're a traveler, a blogger. You started doing a lot of things, so you're quite multi-talented. So that's very good. Yeah, just introduce yourself, talk about who you are and how you got to there.
Okay, so my name is Bilal Hassan. I've been living in Karachi for the past 17, 18 years. By profession and by education, I'm a doctor. I'm still practicing. And another thing is that, like, one thing that accidentally happened on the side is that I also became a travel writer. I write mostly just about Pakistan and focusing more on Karachi. But at times I also, like, write about it, some of my travels abroad, wherever I go. So I just try to write something about it. The main incentive behind the writing is to just get more people to visit Pakistan and Karachi. And also another thing where I write about my abroad travels is to show the world that, like, there are Pakistani travelers out there also. And also, like, the third thing is that, like, on special demand, if there's anyone coming to town also, I also work as a tour guide at times.
Yeah, around the Karachi area?
Yeah, just around Karachi. And if someone wants to go to the nearby, like, heritage sites, like there's Tata, there's Makli, Chokhandi, then I can take them over there. So that's what I do. And I have, like, an Instagram account where my handle is Mr. Paki, which is M-Y-S-T-A. P-A-K-I, Mr. Paki.
Perfect. Yeah, I'll link you in the podcast episode as well. I'll add a link for your Instagram profile so they can find you there easily. Yeah, so you've traveled pretty extensively in Pakistan, and part of your mission is there just to kind of promote, I guess, tourism in Pakistan, which I think is a great mission.
Absolutely. Because I believe there's so much in Pakistan, and there's so much diversity in the landscape, cultures, and everything. And even I haven't seen a lot of corners of it. Like, from you have, like, pristine, like, sandy beaches in Balochistan to, like, the tallest mountains in the world in, like, the Hunza Valley and Concordia. And in between, you have, like, these giant bustling cities. So, yeah, there's a lot to see in Pakistan. And, like, honestly speaking, I still do think it's the best-kept secret right now. For now. Let's see for how long, though.
Yeah, me, I agree. I mean, I personally speaking, I've only been back to Pakistan twice since I moved here to U.S., and both times when I went back, you know, ek do mahine ke liye gaye, you only get enough time to kind of catch up with family. And that pretty much means I'm confined to Punjab. Mujhe kabhi time hi nahi mila to go to North Pakistan or the southern border or, you know.
Oh, no, you have to. That's the thing with Pakistan. Like I've been living here like for like majority of my life, but there's still so much that I haven't seen. Even like cities, every city is very different from one another. Mm-hmm. In most parts of the world, like, you come across countries where the majority of their cities are very homogenous, and like there's plus minus sort of culture where there's like, but in Pakistan, like, every city is completely different from one another. Like Karachi is completely different from Lahore. Lahore is completely different from Pindi and Islamabad. Then there's Multan, there's Peshawar. Like, all of them have this very different unique culture about them, which is great. So that's like, yeah, that's one thing like I try to do through my blog, is just promote Pakistan. The primary aim of the blog was to make it more accessible for Pakistanis and then the diaspora, and now it's for anyone who wants to visit Pakistan. So like, yeah, that's it.
Yeah. And Bilal, I noticed actually aapki Instagram ki profile pe there's some really interesting photos that seem to be telling a story. I've noticed a lot of wall paintings. I've noticed there's a picture of a girl on a rooftop and she's looking down at the cars on the street below. There's pictures of hills and people hiking across it. So I'm sure there's a lot of interesting stories behind those travels.
The thing is about Karachi is that because it's such a large city, it's got this buzz, which is on like 24 hours. So you can never recreate a picture over here. And in most parts of the world, I tend to hate it when people photobomb my photos. In Karachi, I actually wait for people to come in the scene so that like it gives us another layer, another texture to your photographs. One of my most memorable occasion was about 2-3 years back. I offered my Eid prayers at the Bachai Masjid. So like that was great to offer your prayers with around 250,000 people. And and also I took my camera along with me. The people I went with, they were like, "Yeah, Bilal, namaz par le, yeah, namaz se thoda focus kar le." I was like, "Namaz bhi kar lenge, magar saath mein tasveerein bhi kar lenge."
Bachai Masjid, that's one of the few sites that I've actually been to in Pakistan, the few, famous sites, Lahore mein.
Yes.
So it's actually amazing to see it in person. I've noticed that. Pictures mein dekhna to, it looks astounding even in photos. But in person, when I saw it, I was like, yaar, itni badi masjid, it actually looks very, kya kehna chahiye, Bachai. Looks very...
Absolutely, exactly. And it's Pakistan's most iconic image. The picture of the Bachai Masjid, when you look at it, you know that's Pakistan. Like anyone,
can distinguish it, yeah.
Exactly. Like if you see the Eiffel Tower, you're like, oh yeah, that's Paris, that's France. But if you see the Bachai Masjid, you know that's Pakistan. It's one of the most iconic pictures of mine.
Yeah, definitely, I agree. So where else, you've traveled outside of Pakistan quite a bit, is that right?
Yes. I try to travel whenever I get time. Some of my favorite places that I've been to was recently I went to Georgia, which is a former Soviet republic. So that was an interesting, exactly. So that was an interesting trip because it was the first time I went to a country that had some Russian influence over there. So that was interesting. They have nice, delicious food.
What's the language there, by the way?
They speak Georgian over there. But most people are bilingual, so they speak Georgian and Russian. But the interesting thing is that Georgian has its own script. So it's squiggly letters and everything. It was very hard because I can read Russian, but Georgian was a completely different ballgame. So yeah, that was interesting. They have nice food. The thing about their food is that it's just bread and cheese. So goodbye, Jim. So that kind of thing. So yeah, it was interesting. That
Kafi, is it a very cold area, Georgia? Is it very cold climate?
It wasn't cold when I went. But yeah, it's very mountainous. So yeah, I think in the winters it can get really, really cold.
I'm just trying to see if the diet has something to do with the climate. Sometimes, cheese can be associated with cold weather. Fatty food keeps you warm. Maybe that's the reason.
Yeah, you're right. But besides Georgia, I went to the UK. London's one of my favorite cities in the whole world. Mm-hmm. Another place was Istanbul. That was an interesting story when I went there. I was going to Turkey for an exam. I was going to the US for an exam. I didn't tell my parents I was going to Turkey. This is one thing I never tell my parents. I tell my parents after I've gone to a place. I don't tell them when I'm going there because they're typical Asian parents and they'll be like, "Nahi, time zaya karne wali baat hai. Ghumne phirne ki to aapke paas puri zindagi padi hui hai." And I was like, "No, man. I'm getting older, man." And so the thing was on the way back from my exam, I planned that I'm gonna stop over in Turkey for a day or two. And so I went to Istanbul over there. So that was great. That was one of my favorite cities in the whole world. They have great food, great culture. The Blue Mosque and Hagia Sophia, it's completely worth it.
Yeah, you said you had to come here for exams, for medical studies?
Exactly. Once I came for an exam, and second time my cousin was actually getting married over there. So that was interesting. That was a nice trip.
Yeah, man. I mean, I've lived in the U.S. most of my life, and I've actually stepped out of the country just a handful of times. UK, this country alone is so big that it's huge. I don't know what the exact statistic is. How many Pakistans can you fit into the U.S.? I'll have to look that up.
But I think many.
Yeah, it's a massive country, and a lot of it is actually, you'd be surprised to hear, maybe. It's empty space. Lots of it is empty farmland. And there's cities spread across the East Coast and West Coast. There's a lot to see here in this country alone.
Absolutely. You don't realize how big America is till you go there, I guess. So, from here, I'd always known it was a big country. So, when I visited, we were there for 2 months. So I was like, oh, yeah, I really want to go to California and, check out L.A., San Diego, San Francisco, or probably even, the Pacific Northwest, which was, I was like, go to Seattle or Portland. And, when I look at the flights, there's, 6 hours, 7 hours. I was like, whoa, that's big. That's big.
Yeah.
And even, the prices and everything, it was a full international ticket. That's how much you'd be paying if you'd be flying from New York to the other end. And that's when you realize this is a huge country.
Yeah, definitely. I live in Texas, right? I just looked it up. So Pakistan ka area hai 340,000 square miles. So 881,000 square kilometers.
So Texas is bigger?
No, Texas is just slightly smaller.
Slightly smaller.
Yeah, 268,000 square miles. Yeah.
So for perspective.
Yeah, but keep in mind, Texas is just one of the 50 states. But it is one of the bigger states, but still... Yeah, the country's
exactly.
Just huge.
Honestly speaking, if a lot of people laugh when I tell them this, and whenever they ask me, they're like, what was your favorite city in America? I always say that I like Houston a lot.
Okay.
Everyone's like, they're like, really? You like Houston? It's so desi and all that stuff. I was like, yeah, it is desi, Sugarland and all that places.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also very homey. It feels very you feel like, oh yeah, I could live here. I could live here. And there's not much to see, honestly speaking, but it's also a very comfortable type of place. In comparison to New York, I was like, no man, I can't live here. The city's, it's too crazy. Plus, I was like, it's almost unaffordable at times. They're like,
you're actually pretty close to correct.
Yeah, I found it really astounding because, in Florida, everything was chill. You don't pay for Wi-Fi and anything. But once you're in New York, they're like, oh, yeah, Wi-Fi, $20 for one day. And you're like, Wi-Fi should be free at least. But, yeah, that's the one thing I noticed about New York. I was like, hey, it's good to visit, but nay, I don't think I'd like to live there.
Mm-hmm. You will find this about New York. I grew up in New York for several years, actually, when we moved to the U.S. in the beginning, in the 90s. Will find a lot of people there, desi people especially, that are stuck to New York. Jo city ke kuch logo the na, they're stuck to those cities. Aur unko aap jo marzi kehte hain, they won't leave. Because they're bound to that city. And that's one of the reasons why they're paying for that cost of living, why the demand for those cities is so high. Because people were just born and raised there and they don't know any other lifestyle. So if you actually put some New Yorkers into Houston, which many of them have done successfully, but some of the more accustomed ones that are born and raised in New York and you put them in Houston, they will suffer a huge culture shock. And that might be surprising to hear because both of those cities are in America, right? They can...
Absolutely, yeah.
The lifestyles vary so much, even in this one country, from coast to coast, from city to city, that can be actually a massive shock for somebody to cope with all at once.
Because I found it really interesting that even food, like pizza, it's going to vary from different city to city. And there's huge rivalries about it.
Oh, yeah,
of course. Chicago claims that theirs is better, and New York says, no, ours is better. And then both of them are completely different from one another. So, yeah, I can understand, the culture shock.
I might be a bit biased, but the New York one is better.
I like the New York one also. The Chicago one, I was like, oh, yeah, I feel like I'm having a heart attack. This is too much.
Yeah, the New Yorkers, they often say the Chicago deep dish style pizza, that's not even pizza. That's lasagna because it's so deep. You usko pizza kehne ka, it doesn't even deserve the right to be called a pizza.
I was like, a cake, this is a cake. I was like, this is playing mind games. Yeah, so that was nice. I still like America a lot because I feel like there's so much I still haven't seen. And then there's I completely forgot about Hawaii and Alaska. Wo to completely alag hai. So there's still a lot that I need to see over there. Till I can say that I've been to America. Because I haven't even been to Washington. So that's the one place that I'd like to see also.
Right. Though, Bilal, I think it's probably a futile question for me to ask anyway, but I thought I'd clarify. You are a Pakistani resident, right? Pakistani citizen.
Yes.
Koi dual citizenship to nahi hai?
Nahi, bilkul bhi nahi hai.
Okay. Because I find that amazing, man. You are born and raised in Pakistan. You have Pakistani residency, like, and you've traveled more than me. And I have one of the most powerful passports in the world.
Yes.
I have the ability to travel anywhere. Like, in, I don't get that kind of liberty and time, I guess. I can make 1,000 excuses, but it's pretty impressive. You've actually been able to travel much.
You know, like, honestly speaking, like, the thing was, like, I've always liked to travel. Like, I've always, travel's been one of my, like, big passions since I was growing up. But, like, I think, like, in the years, like, in the mid-2000s, when things got really bad in Pakistan, and, like, you know, like, our impression of the world also, like, people see Pakistan, most people in the West, either they see Pakistanis as Indians, like you pointed out earlier, or they'll see Pakistanis in a very negative light, whatever they've seen on Homeland or stuff like that, or in the news. So I genuinely think that in today's day and age, travel is very important for, like, us young Pakistanis, so that we can go out there and more people can meet people like us and be like young, like, normal type log bhi rehte, you know, that kind of thing. And that way we can also have a dialogue with other people. So yeah, I think travel is very important now, like, in today's day and age, especially being a young Pakistani. Yeah, you should explore also, but it's also important apna dimag kholne ke liye, dusron ka dimag kholne ke liye, it's important.
Yeah, no, I think you hit the nail on the head. That's one of the questions I was actually meaning to ask you. Okay, do you recommend traveling to other people? And
absolutely. I mean, like I pointed out earlier, like, if I would have not gone out of Pakistan, to mere liye to shayad Indian Israeli sab gande log the. But honestly speaking, I've had great experiences with both of them. It just really opens up your mind, and at the same time, you also open up people's minds. Like, I remember, like, there was this Uber driver that we met in Orlando, and he very frankly upfront said, he's like, you know, like, I was always very afraid of brown people. He frankly, point blank, said it to our face.
Really?
And I was like, what do you mean, brown people? He's like, you know, like, you kind of people.
You got to appreciate his honesty, at least.
No, he was very honest about it. But then, like, and he was white. And then I had the dialogue with him. And I was like, you know, like, one thing I want you to know, like, in today's America, I'm actually afraid of white people. And I was like, don't take this, like, offensive. But I was like, I am. And he's like, what do you mean? I was like, honestly speaking, as a person of color, I'm always vigilant of, because I was like, anyone could be armed. Anyone could do anything. And he's like, I never thought about it that way. I was like, yeah, like, there's fear on both sides. But, like, you know, like, we need to talk about this. Like, we can't just stay emotionally constipated and act like it doesn't exist. And I think it's important. And then he's like, no, man, like, I'm glad we had this conversation. And then he gave me a nice rating on Uber and everything. I thought mujhe bahut gandi rating dega. Itni honesty ke liye.
Yeah, the Uber conversations you'll have in this. By the way, do you have Uber in Pakistan?
Yes, we have Uber. We have Uber. We've had it for like 3-4 years. So Uber's here. There's Kareem. There's another like local ride hailing app. I think it's called Kareem. So we have both of them.
Yeah. And Bilal, going back to a topic that we discussed just a bit ago, actually, about being open to traveling, and that you recommend traveling to people a lot after all this that you've experienced, right? And it's opened you up, not just, you know, in terms of the places that you've seen, but also the people that you've met, right? So that's made you more, I think, knowledgeable of what's out there in different cultures and learning to appreciate them. I think that's a very important trait that you kind of captured. So that's great.
Yeah, like, it opens up your mind a lot.
Yeah. And the reason I ask that is because I'm trying to figure out why traveling for fun is still not a big thing in Pakistani society. I think it's growing, but it's still not quite there yet. So,
No, actually, like, just like adding to my earlier point, it's changing a lot now. Like, it's changing a lot, especially like in my generation, more and more Pakistanis are traveling abroad for fun.
Yeah.
It's like, kabhi kabhar to like literally lagta hai ki, like, ki Europe yahi hai, Europe ka ticket free mein mil raha hai. It's like, I've seen so many people just go to Europe and visit Europe, and it's not cheap. It's like, you'd be spending like anywhere between $2,000 to $3,000 minimum. But a lot of people are going right now, and the trend is changing. Actually, in my parents' generation, that trend wasn't there that much. For them, it was more like, whenever you're going to travel abroad, you're going to like meet a rishtadar or someone, you know, like that kind of thing.
rishtedar jobs or some kind of success related. Yeah, shadi or something like that, right? Yeah, exactly, right? There has to be a purpose. You can't just go for fun. Exactly. That's ridiculous.
like my parents don't get it. They don't. They really don't. They're like, tum kyun pagal ho, kyun ghumte rehte ho, kahan ki, kya time zaya karte ho, you know, that kind of thing. They don't get it. That's the thing. They're very old school that way. But like a lot of people in my generation, they do. The thing is, like, even if they can't afford to go abroad, a lot of them are traveling a lot in Pakistan.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, like, in Pakistan, like, till 2013, 2014, things were pretty bad domestically. Like, there was, like, attacks and everything was happening, like, a lot of stuff. But now, like, things are, like, alhamdulillah, they've, like, simmered down and everything's pretty chill right now. So the longest time, Pakistan wasn't even accessible to Pakistanis. But now you can, like, travel by road all the way from Karachi all the way till the Chinese border, and it's pretty chill. So a lot of people are doing that also, like backpacking across the country.
That's amazing, man. Yeah, wow. I'm actually amazed to hear that, Waqi, because I was still of the mindset that people the majority of them have not adopted that mindset yet. And that's one of the reasons explaining, you know, like there's a statistic here in the U.S., even in the U.S., right, where traveling is such a big cultural attraction. It's something like 80% of Americans still live like 20 miles away from their mom just because they don't like being outside of their comfort zone. So people are just afraid to live away from their parents. And if that's the case in America, man, so you know, how bad could it be in Pakistan?
Yeah, they always say that nothing grows in your comfort zone if you're in your comfort zone. So you need to get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said earlier, like I don't think I would have been the person I am today had I not traveled. Because it just opens up your mind so much. And yeah, it's very important. I think, especially in today's day and age, it's very important.
No, yeah, absolutely. I mean, if we're going to get rid of these divides like Punjabi, Sindhi, Balochi.
Exactly.
Within our own country, you don't even have to travel outside of your country. You just within your country, as you're explaining, there's a lot of diversity to see. People often think traveling has to mean you have to go somewhere else, Malaysia, Japan or something.
No, like even if you can't afford it, it's fine. You can just travel within your country. And actually, the thing is, like, when a lot of people ask me, they're like, Bilal, which is like your top three countries that you'd like to visit? And I always say, I say that I'd like to visit our neighbors. And they're like, which ones? I say, like, number one, I'd love to visit Iran because there's so much, like rich culture over there. I'd love to visit China. And then the third is a surprising one. I say, I'd like to go to Afghanistan. And they're like, why Afghanistan? Are you mad you don't want to go to Afghanistan? I was like, no, but like, you know, I was like, but there's so much history and so much culture over there. Obviously, I wouldn't go right now because like the situation's like pretty bad. But like, I'm very like, I'd like to go by road to all these places because, you know, I want to see the landscape change. I want to see the culture change. And that's what I want to see it like. Like if you talk to Pakistanis right now, they'll know everything about the midterm elections in the United States. Like we'll be able to tell you, we'll tell you that, yeah, in Texas, there's Beto O'Rourke standing against like Ted Cruz. We know all this stuff. We know about like the Florida race and all this stuff, but we know nothing about our neighbors, absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important. Like we should actually learn stuff about our neighbors. Like Pakistan, the only thing probably people know about is like India and probably a little about China. We know nothing about Afghanistan. We know nothing about Iran. And even China, we don't know that much. We just know about China through the eyes.
YouTube.
Like our economy. Yeah, YouTube or our economy, we know it. So I think it's important we should know stuff. So that's one thing that it's...
Yeah, nee, absolutely. I wanted to share some of my experience here where you mentioned, you know, you wanted to go to Afghanistan and drive, see how the scenery changes and things like that, right? It kind of reminds me. So I actually went to Europe about 2 years ago and then... I went to Costa Rica pretty recently, actually. Some of my favorite experiences of traveling are actually not the touristy parts. You know, you go to those typical touristy places and you take photos that everybody else has already taken next to those famous monuments, right? My favorite moments of traveling are usually driving, you know, through their geography. So driving through and seeing how their environments differ from ours, or just sitting at a coffee shop and drinking coffee and, you know, people watching. That's been one of my favorite experiences, just kind of understanding the differences in our cultures and the preferences and diet and the styles of speech. As even comparing London to New York was kind of a fascinating experience. There's differences, there's a lot of similarities. And it's just amazing. So one of the things, for example, I noticed in Europe, sitting down to drink coffee or drinking tea is actually really big in Europe compared to in America. In America, everybody wants a to-go cup. Yampe, you know, people are always on the go, so they always want a traveling cup. But I noticed when I was in Europe, it was more like, hey, just sit down here, just have a coffee with us. I really enjoyed that.
I completely agree with you on this. Like, it's like these little experiences also, yeah, which just like enrich your trip further. Like you said, like having just sitting down and having a cup of coffee, like in a cafe, like just changes everything. Like I remember in Istanbul, like once we were done sightseeing, I just sat down on the shore and we're just eating some baklava or something. And it was just like, we just sat there for like 3 to 4 hours, just like people watching the boats go by. It really enhances your trip. And like you said, like even when I'm traveling, I like to go to more off the beaten track places and less off the tourist track. And that's even the type of countries that I visit. That's like, I try going to places where less people go to so that I can show people that, hey, you can even go there. You know, like, I mean, no hate to the people that go to Europe and everything, or Thailand, but there's much more out there. That's what I want to show people.
Yeah.
You can go there also.
Right, right. No, yeah, definitely. I mean, some of my fantasies are just to go to some kind of remote monastery and kind of understand how people live in those types of isolated environments and learn to live without the internet and these modern conveniences that we have. I really want to experience that, even if it's just for a week. I love that type of experience.
I know, right? Like the thing is, like, even like over here, I try doing a social media detox off and on. I try to close my phone.
That's probably especially difficult for you.
Yeah. And I always like fail, like, and, like 2-3 days I'm like, oh, I need to check. But yeah. That would be healthy, I think. Like, like no signals, nothing. I think like it'd be great for the mind and everything.
Yeah, right. So Bilal, tourism, we talked about tourism earlier in Pakistan. So we know it's there. How big is it, by the way? And then how can we promote it? How can we promote tourism more in Pakistan and kind of educate?
Okay, the thing is, tourism in Pakistan is, it's still in its infancy right now, because like I said earlier, that like Pakistan has gone through a lot of turbulent times recently. But right now, when there's like a semblance of calm and the country is more connected with one another,
yeah,
so it's opening up. It's opening up, and people are starting initiatives. Like in Karachi, there's a tour bus. In Lahore, there's a tour bus. There are special, like, you can hire guides to show you around. Things are happening on the ground. Hotels are opening more and more. The visas, I've heard, they're thinking about liberalizing the visa situation, probably implementing an e-visa situation for more people to come over here. So things are happening. But one thing is that in order to get more people to visit, like I said earlier, we need to do our part as Pakistanis as to promote it more. And whatever you know about it, just, it can be just like one thing, like probably if you meet like a friend from abroad and just talk to them in Pakistan in a positive light. That could even just change one thing. Or just have them eat Pakistani food at your house and tell them that, hey, it's better back home. And you don't have to go out of your way. And like on the other part, on the government's part, like I'd say, like, is that like whatever they're doing, they're doing a good job. But yeah, just like probably more connectivity would be better. Mm-hmm. That's one thing I'd say.
I know Instagram definitely catches my eye. So I've noticed a lot of, yes, Instagram travel bloggers based in Pakistan, kind, yes, of like you, in photos submitted to tags that I follow, and that helps me a lot. So for example, yes, one group, it's actually a Facebook group that got me interested in traveling to Pakistan, yes, because I'd never seen that side of Pakistan. It's a group called Hunza on Foot. So they actually show the Hunza Valley area.
Yes, I know about this.
They partnered with a very famous Facebook group here, Humans of New York.
Yes. I've heard about them myself, and like I think just yesterday someone was talking to me about it. It was like, yeah, Bilal, we should take the tour over there. Like, yeah, just this particular guy, he takes people on foot around the valley, and a lot of Westerners have also taken up his tour and everything. Like I said, like people are doing a lot of work on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
But now, like as Pakistanis, it's our job to promote it and get the word out there and get more people to visit. Mm-hmm. That's what we can do over here. But there's a lot of potential, like I said, because mm-hmm. there's so much diversity. There's so much to see over here. I mean, like I've met so many people from like the West who've come to Pakistan at least 3-4 times after the first time they've come here.
Mm-hmm.
And now I just start saying this, like whenever I meet someone from abroad, I was like, this isn't the last time you're coming here. And they're like, yeah, we know. So then they end up coming here like another time, another time. So yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah, because I think one element that goes into consideration for a lot of people when they're thinking about traveling to Pakistan specifically is the safety aspect of it. And
yes,
you know, even though I'm Pakistani by birth, right? Even I have to admit sometimes I shy away from the idea just because I'm scared for my own safety. I think it kind of softens us to live abroad sometimes. We get really soft and we start thinking very
carefully. The thing is, like, 5 years back, if you had said this, then I would have been like, yeah, I kind of agree with you. You know, like, take sensible precautions.
But yeah.
Now things have changed. And like, now I tell people to, like, whenever they say like safety, I was like, don't think too much. Forget everything you already know about Pakistan and just book your ticket and come. And yeah, and one thing the most important thing about Pakistan is that get in touch with locals. Pakistanis are very friendly. We're all very, very friendly and we love having visitors.
Right.
So like I said earlier, like if anyone gets in touch with me and they're like, could you show us around? Like, even if I can't show them around, I was like, I'll meet you for chai.
Yeah.
And like, or take them out for dinner or lunch. And Pakistanis are very friendly. They'll host you. They'll keep you in their houses. They'll show you around. Probably like a lot of times they won't even let you pay for a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
So like, and that's the reason why a lot of people like end up coming back to Pakistan more and more, because they form these like lifelong connections with the locals. And we're very good at that.
Yeah. I gotta say, actually, I love it when I'm hearing this from you. I've heard this on the previous podcast episode, which was with a guy named Amaz. He was from Scotland, moved back to Islamabad,
yeah.
And a few podcasts even before that.
Yeah.
Pretty much the overall theme that I'm hearing from Pakistanis that are living in Pakistan is things are improving. And the stories I hear are just remarkable, yeah? Because the last time I was in Pakistan was 2006.
Oh, no, that was like a long time, 12 years. Like,
exactly. And it's been a long time, yeah. And from what I hear, lots of stuff has changed just within the last 3-4 years. So imagine the last 12, 13 years.
I mean, a lot has changed. Like in 12 years, so like it's a completely different country in 12 years.
Yeah.
In 2006 was just literally, we hadn't even gotten democracy then. So like we got democracy in 2007. Now it's like the 10th or the 11th year. So like things have changed a lot. Like you have more cinemas, you have more restaurants, more hotels. There's better connectivity in the country. Countries. So yeah, you need to visit. That's one thing I'm going to say to you.
It's funny, like you mentioned internet. The last time I went, right, in 2006, we were somewhere in Islamabad and I walked over to a net cafe and they had written outside something like new internet connection, enjoy the super fast speeds. And I went in there, I paid, I sat at a computer and google.com was not loading. It took 45 seconds for the main page to load up.
And now like we're talking through this.
Yeah, exactly right.
Things have changed a lot.
Yeah, like I said, these last few episodes alone have convinced me. I wanted to come back anyway, besides regardless of all this. But yeah, now I'm like actually really excited to come and see the changes. And
yeah, you'll be surprised at a lot of things. Like, on that note, you should visit. I'm sure we've met those wale Pakistani. You probably met those jo kehte hain ke, when they go somewhere, they're like, oh yeah, like this particular so-and-so said that, oh, you don't even look Pakistani.
Uh-huh.
Or like, you don't sound Pakistani. Or you're not like the others. I was like, that is not a compliment, by the way. Okay? Like, he's like you know, like, I'm thinking Lebanese. I was like, but my point is, why do you want to be that Lebanese or whatever? I mean, I'm proud of being Pakistani. In fact, I take pride in that fact that it gives me an opportunity to tell somebody about Pakistan. Like, America, mein bahut dafa ye hota tha, Uber ke andar aap jab ja rahe hote ho. So like, and you just strike up random conversation kabhi kabhar, and they're like, where are you from? And then you're like, Pakistan. And obviously, sabko Pakistan ke baare mein pata hota hai, naam suna hota hai, news mein suna hota hai zyada tar, aur mujhe pata hai kya suna hota hai. So, but then like, it also gives me an opportunity to tell them about Pakistan. And like, just say ke, like, haan, Pakistan mein har type ka banda rehta hai, yaar. Like, aur phir wo poochte hain aapki, how's your English so good? That's like the next question.
Yeah.
Then it gives me another chance to tell them, that, hey, like, you know, like our education system's in English and like colonialism and yeah, and that kind of thing. So I think it's just, it's give and take.
Yeah, definitely. Part of the fight here is not just to teach non-Pakistanis across the world what Pakistanis are or and how we are, right? But it's also just educating Pakistanis abroad. Because kafi hum logon mein se wo hain jo paida hi yahan hue hain. We don't know anything about them. Kafi yahan pe children of Pakistanis hain jo kabhi Pakistan gaye nahi. So they don't even know what it's like over there.
Absolutely.
I have some younger cousins here. I know people who are going to colleges and they're younger than me. So I have that older perspective now, right? But they think, you know, they're growing up here. And they can change everything about themselves, but you can't change how you look at the very least. There's always something there that's going to make Americans ask you, where are you from?
Exactly.
Yahan pe gora gorai ko nahi puchega ki aap kahan se hain. But gora aapko hamesha puchega because of your skin color, where are you from? And if you can't answer that, then that shows that you're very disconnected from your culture. And I think that's a gap we have to bridge. Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think it's a very good thing right now, because I've also been noticing like media, there's a lot of people, like brown people coming in the media. Like, abhi bhi, there's a lot of work to do, but bahut log aa rahe hain. Like, I mean, there's like Riz Ahmed, there's Kumail, there's Mindy Kaling and all these people. And they're all very proud of where they come from. They own up to it. Okay? And I think, yeah, it's about time. Like, Arabi log, we should be like, yeah, it's fine. I'm Pakistani. We're Pakistani American. We're Pakistani British. But like, you know, just that erasing a part of your identity, or at least like something which makes you stand out from everyone else.
Yeah, for sure. Ek aur jo masla hota na kahin baar, main gaur karta hun, when I'm talking to Americans over here, they ask you, are you from India? And then you say, no, I'm actually from Pakistan. And then there'll be many of them will say, same thing. So I know that their intentions are good. They mean well. They're like, oh yeah, in Pakistanis, Indians, bhai. I'm like, I absolutely agree. We should have that friendship. Lekin, yeah, when they say it's the same thing, sometimes I do take offense to that, because I think there's differences too. It's not just, you know, Pakistanis do have their own identity. Urdu is different from Hindi. So we have to draw those lines. Like in, oftentimes people think Bollywood is something that, you know, for example, will cover the entire South Asian subcontinent.
Exactly.
Or, you know, Pakistan ka apna media hai nahi. Jo, that fault lies on us. We don't do a very good job of publicizing, I think, our own media, our own entertainment.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you. Our media is actually, it's gone pretty big, and I've noticed this. I've grown up in two different Pakistans. Like, one was the military dictatorship, and now it's like the democratic union that we have right now. And I've seen how the media has changed. Like, personally, like, we used to just have two or three channels, and now there's like so many. We actually have a full on celebrity culture now. Like, so yeah, it's pretty big, and in a very short span of time, we've also produced some really good movies. Mm-hmm. But like you said, we're not doing a very good job of getting the message out of Pakistan. But I guess it's just about being patient. And like, cause like honestly, like whenever like I meet a foreigner who comes to Pakistan, and they're like, oh, your country has, like, very subtly they say your country has these problems, that problems, or blah blah blah. I tell them one thing. I was like, look. Pakistan is not, I mean, on paper, it's 71, 72 years old. But I'm like, technically, it's just 10 years old. We've just had 10 years of democracy, honestly speaking. This is just, it's like a kid that's learning to walk again. Literally, a kid that was like in the ICU now has gone out of the hospital and is like learning to walk. So just like cut it some slack, honestly speaking. And yeah, it's just literally in these 10 years, the media opened up, we got democracy. Which still is pretty fragile. Like, it's going to take some while for it to mature. So people are still grappling with the idea of like press freedom. So it'll take time. I'm optimistic. I'm always optimistic. Thank you so much for having me. Like, it was a lot of fun.
No, thank you. Yeah, thank you. Thanks for making time for this. This was great.
Anytime.